I wonder this morning if you have ever been through a time in your life where you have questioned the scripture my dad just read, where you have asked, is prayer truly powerful and effective, as James suggests? If you've wondered if your prayers really make a difference. I remember an event that I attended featuring a guest speaker, a friend of Sonia's and mine, who had experienced a miraculous recovery from a rare form of cancer. In his inspiring speech, he detailed his journey from a doctor's death sentence to radical restoration. After receiving his grave diagnosis, he went to work both physically and spiritually. He changed his diet to a radical regimen of raw vegetables and juice. He shifted his faith and prayer life into overdrive, with fervent prayer that matched the passion of a father desperate to stay alive for his children and grandchildren. His very appearance that night on the podium offered proof that following his plan of diet and prayer was a winning formula for healing and restoration. And when he finished, many rose to their feet, inspired by his testimony, cheering as they stood in agreement with his methods for success. Later detailed in his autobiographical book, described as a Marine's mindset of never giving up on God, or his willingness to do what the Bible says God will do if we ask and follow his commands. Well, a few of us in the crowd remained seated that evening, struggling to swallow the confident claims of this can't-miss cancer cure. My heart was one of them that was not rejoicing that night. It was seething. It was still heavy, still raw from the loss of my brother-in-law a few months earlier. My brother-in-law, who, like the speaker, was diagnosed with cancer, and who, like the speaker, radically changed his diet, and who, like the speaker, was full of faith and hope and fervent prayers, and had an army of loving family and friends praying for healing on his behalf. But instead of a clean bill of health and a book tour, Aaron got hospice care and a funeral. And this devastating failure to receive the answer to prayer that I was counting on led me to begin to question the efficacy of fervent prayer and vegetable juice. Entered me into a season of wrestling with how to cope when death arrives despite fervent faith and prayer. Well, today's passage in James seems to back up the claims made by the keynote speaker that night. James writes, is anyone suffering, they should pray. Are any among you sick, they should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And what will be the result of your efforts? The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Will and should. Two words I despised in my season of grief. Then again, I never liked the word should. It is a bit of a trigger for me. Don't tell me what to do. Don't should on me. Should is a dangerous word in matters of faith, especially when shoulds don't yield the wills that were promised. After Aaron died, I began a quest hoping to get to the bottom of James' claims. Is prayer as effective as James suggests? Do our prayers really make a difference? For my research, I chose books about prayer by authors on the losing side of prayer, those whose stories of loss and lament offered no can't-miss formulas for success, but rather deep disappointment in a God who could have saved the ones they loved but did not. I once heard a faith preacher say, well, it's certainly not God's fault that you weren't healed. But one author I read isn't so sure. This author lost his son, despite fervent faith and prayer, causing him to question why God didn't keep his side of the bargain. He wondered why we should have to make these petitions in the first place. If God is a God of love, why isn't God already on the job healing the sick? If God is our Savior, why isn't God already busy saving the lost? If justice is the foundation of God's throne, why isn't God fostering justice and equality for the marginalized? If God is our shield and protector, why are God's children dying of COVID and car crashes and cancer? Why do we have to twist the arm of the one with all the power to protect us, heal us, and save us? It seems in our humanness, we need to know the answers. We need to put the blame on somebody. And if the blame can't go to God, then it must go to us. Perhaps our prayers lack the fervency to fill heaven's bowls. Maybe our prayers of faith were somehow inadequate, ineffective, missing the mark, lacking the faith needed to heal and save, because if we were a bit more faithful, maybe Aaron's chair would not be empty this Thanksgiving. Perhaps you felt this way, that unanswered prayers are your fault. Or perhaps you ignore the words of the prosperity preacher and go ahead and blame God. Accuse God of not caring enough to keep your heart from breaking. But maybe our blessed assurance doesn't always include healing on this side of heaven. I read one book called Help, Thanks, Wow, The Three Essential Prayers, in which the author's own journey with life's joys and devastating losses eventually wore away her need for certainty, her need for assurance, stripped away her demand for the shoulds and wills of biblical writers and cancer-surviving keynote speakers. As one who ended up on the wrong side of fervent prayer seeking answer, this author eventually came to grips that prayer and its results might just be one more mystery of the Christian faith. One more conundrum from the one whose ways are higher than ours and beyond our comprehension. After all, Scripture seems to be full of conflicting stories. Like the most righteous man on earth losing his home, health, property, possessions, and all 10 of his children in 1 week. Devastated by his loss and confused why his righteous life failed to earn God's protection, Job complained to God about the unfairness of it all, demanded an explanation for why the wills and shoulds he was promised seemed to fold up like a cheap tent. God's answer to Job? You wouldn't understand. These answers are above your ability to comprehend. The author of one book, she experienced losses that taught her something similar, taught her that sometimes life is just hard. Sometimes we don't get what we want, and it doesn't make sense to us. And any snappy explanation of suffering we come up with or formulas to overcome our suffering will be, in her words, horse bleep. In her grief, she wondered if the purpose of prayer was not to carefully follow a formula to achieve the answers we want, but that prayer is simply the privilege of communicating heart to heart with a God that surpasses our understanding. Perhaps prayer is more about relationship than rules, more about relationship than results. And something strange happened to me as I read the books of those who failed to receive the results that they were seeking. Books with no formulas or promises, no shoulds or wills, Reading these books inspired me to begin praying simply just to be with God, seeking God's face rather than God's hand, sitting with no agendas, but to be still and know that God is God and I am not. Choosing relationship revived my prayer life, slowly prying my clenched fists back open to God, surrendering to the most difficult prayer to learn. Not my will, but yours be done, O God. It's hard to learn to give up our agendas in prayer. Hard to follow the lead of our Lord who prayed, not my will, but yours be done, O God. I read this week that this is how tennis great Arthur Ashe prayed. He was a man of deep faith and devotion to God, and he always prayed before his tennis matches, but never asked God to help him win. He always prayed for God's will to be done. No wonder he seemed to be at peace. But you can't ignore that there is tension in praying this way. Because make no doubt about it, James and other biblical writers advocate asking for what we want. And asking in the proper way. James says, you do not have because you do not ask. Or you ask and do not receive because you ask for your own pleasures. James says, get on your knees, people, and pray for healing. Pray to the God of love for the well-being of the people you love. Pray that those who are sick and suffering among you will be healed. And that's why we do that every week. But we do it with the knowledge that there are mysteries in prayer. There are mysteries in the Bible. In the Bible that contains both formulas for prayer and faith, like our passage today, and also stories where God scolds people for having formulas for prayer and faith. Read Job, Isaiah, and Jesus. Read Paul, who wrote to the Romans, reminding them that we really have no idea how to pray, but he said, go ahead and pray anyway, because the Spirit moves from within you. And the Spirit moves best through a vessel without control issues. The author stated that she believes that the Spirit moves best when our prayers are authentic, when we are fully honest, when we're transparent, raw, and real with God, offering our hopes, fears, and disappointments without any pretense, which I believe my keynote speaking friend was being. He's an authentic person. What you see is what you get with him. And it's been several years since hearing his speech, and I hold no hard feelings against him. In fact, I'm grateful that he lived to tell his story. And that was his story. That was his song. And I believe that his story is helpful to many. I'm glad that he's continuing to be a great husband and father. And I'm sure that his story is just what some in the body of Christ need to hear. Because prayer is a mystery that takes different forms in different seasons of life. And for those of us lamenting the losses of unanswered prayers that failed to save the lives of loved ones, perhaps joy can be found in the story and song of our Savior, whom the writer to the Hebrews says, offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers. And yet, Jesus went to the cross and suffered for us anyway, praying, not my will, but yours be done, O God. If our Savior can pray for healing and safety, and still pray, not your will, but mine be done, then I think we can do the same. James writes, is anyone suffering? We should pray. Are any among us sick? We should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Why? Because we believe that the prayer of faith will save the sick. Maybe not on this side of heaven, like my friend. Maybe on the other side, like Aaron. The Lord will raise them up, maybe not from their hospital bed, but certainly into his arms in eternity. Either way, we win. Either way, we are victorious. Either way, we are promised that we will all be together one day, fully healed and restored, full of everlasting joy. And while we wait, if you believe, the losses of life and unanswered prayers are revealing cracks in your faith and prayer life like they continue to do in mine. Be honest with God about your doubts and fears. Take heart and hope in the words of a great songwriter who sings, "Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in." Amen.